And this insight will be helpful to us because it will show us the actuality of prayer, the reality of it, and particularly it'll be a lesson to us. I think that today many people pray, and I know days gone by I've been guilty of attempting to exercise myself in prayer, and it has not been satisfactory because it has not been really of God. Now, many people might not understand that. Say, well, can't I pray and always be in the will of God? No, sir. Prayer, I say this, that many, we may discuss it more as time goes on, but one of the easiest places to backslide is in a prayer room. It's prayer itself is not just an answer, it's believing prayer. And therefore, we must understand the subject. And so I'm taking several illustrations from the Old Testament, especially the first five books. And I don't believe that we'll cover them all, but we'll cover a number. And I believe much good will be revealed to us. Now, before we read, then let's pray once more. Gracious Father, how we thank Thee again for the ability to come together, Lord, to hear this word. That our hearts, O God, that are hungry to hear it. And not only hungry hearts, Lord, but hands and feet and mind and body willing to put into exercise that which we hear. Now, Lord, may every mind be opened and every heart really open to be exercised by the Holy Ghost tonight, so that we can get truth and see the Word of God indeed the way it is, especially concerning this subject of prayer. Now help us, Lord, as we look to You and believe at this time, my God, that we have the petition we desire because it is according to Your will that we ask this, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the first recorded prayer in the Bible is in Genesis 15. Now, if there's a recorded prayer other than just a sentence, I'm not thoroughly aware of it. I'm not going into the Garden of Eden thought, but we're going into what we know to be actual, real prayer. As people, men and women, pray to the great invisible God, not the unknown God, because God can be known, but the invisible God. Now, in the first few verses, beginning of chapter 15, Genesis, book of Genesis, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, to me it is not by happenstance or by accident that the first recorded prayer is uttered by Abraham, who is the father of the faithful and the receiver of the promises. Because that is, to me, the way it should be, because we are children of Abraham by faith, and God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. And it is not by chance either that this first prayer is like this, Lord, what will you give me? Now, here is a great truth. God has revealed himself to Abram in this revelation of the first verse that he was his personal protector and provider. He said, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Now, of course, the word shield is an instrument of protection. So what God is saying, now you know the Psalms, the Lord is a tower and the righteous went into it. The Lord is a rock in a weary land, and the Lord is a covert, and so on. The thought of complete protection lies in the shield. Now, the next thought is reward. Now, you know the book of Hebrews tells us that he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder. It is not sufficient to know that God is, but it's sufficient only to know that God is your rewarder. Now, to reward is to supply. So God says to Abram, I am your protector, and I am your provider. I am your protector, and I am your exceeding great provider. Now, if God is our protection, what more do we need? The answer is no. For the Scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? See, that is correct. It doesn't matter what is against us as long as God is for us, because God is my protector. See, he says in his great promises, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with you, and they shall not overflow you. And it says that what shall separate us from the love of Christ, shall height or depth, shall nakedness or peril or sword, and things present, things to come. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him. And where is he? He's inside. Because we have this abundant strength through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God is the protector of his people. And I said during the faith series, here's where we all have our most terrible times. We don't want God to protect us. See? We like to fight our own battles. You know, the American tradition is the Horatio Alger, entirely unscriptural premise of the little boy making good against all odds by himself. Now, you can be an idealist, and that's a good thing. But idealism has no place in God, because idealism strives at but doesn't necessarily attain to. But in God, you are working in the realm of the infallible. Because I am the Lord, I change not. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? See, we must see that God wants to protect us. And that's what we have all this problem with right now in the last day since the prophet's gone. The one thing he warned us about was to hold steady and don't fuss. Well, somebody takes a crack at me, and my natural propensity to take a crack back. That's not letting God protect me. That's me protecting myself. Well, if I protect myself, then God can't protect me. Because this is not a partnership. God never said, Abraham, I'm going to teach you a few tricks how to take care of yourself. See? Now, that's what we want. We want a few tricks out of the bag, and then say, now, Lord, I've learned my tricks. You stand back, and I'll go to it, and I'll see if I learn these laws. That's not it at all. See, the Lord is our shield, and he is our provider. See, he wants to be. Now, this is a tremendous revelation, see? Because what else do you want more than protection and provision? Protection and provision sum up the whole way of life. Because if you know you're taken care of from physical harm, and you're provided for in your sustenance and your clothing, what more do you want? See? Now, you notice that Jesus brought out in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, why do you take thought for tomorrow? What are you all fussed up about? He said, look at the lily of the field. It doesn't toil nor spin, but Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He said, behold now the sparrows. He said, they don't just sow and plant and sow and reap and put up in barns. But your Father knows what they have need of supplying it, and he knows what you have need of. How much more, he said, shall he clothe you, O you of little faith, and you can do that for yourself. But he doesn't say that. He said to put your trust in the living God, because cursed is man who puts his trust in man and maketh flesh his arm. See? And so this is a tremendous revelation that God wants to be the actual source of all supply, both physical protection and positive goods that we need in our lives. And God wants to do it. Now, I say, what more could anybody want? See? Nobody could want more than that. Nobody. That's a husband relationship to a wife. It's a father relationship to the children. The protector and the provider. And remember, protection comes before provision. Because it sure wouldn't be any good if God said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm really going to provide for you. But I can't guarantee I'll help you keep it. So, well, now that wouldn't be any good at all. Because somebody could come along and take it away from you. Fact of the matter is, you could have everything all lined up in a great big abundance, and you could still starve because somebody come and take it away from you. You see, you look at the animals, powerful, strong animals. They'll be maybe rending a carcass or something. But you get another animal come by, he'll run because he's scared. The instinctive desire of man to preserve himself, or the element of fear, self-protection, we call it, is the strongest instinct in a person's life. Protect yourself, see? And if that's the strongest instinct, then we are maybe in trouble on this point. We have to learn to let God protect us. Now, God said to Abraham, I am your protector and your provider. Now, that's exactly what he says to us today, that he is our protector and provider. Notice, this is where Abraham started in his basic revelation of God. Now, the other revelation he had wasn't good enough. It was a revelation, but all it was God, thou art owner, possessor of heaven and earth by reason of creation. Well, God's got all of this creation. What's he going to do with it?
give to us. But you see, we don't know that. And that's what Abraham didn't know. He knew that God was creator. But the creator revelation is not enough. The basic revelation to every Christian, and God will hold you to this if he kills you in doing it, that he is both protector and provider. And so he starts back here with Abraham, the father of the faithful. And the first thing Abraham learned, see, really as Abram he learned it, in order to become Abraham, see, to go as it were from a child to this dynamic father, the ultimate, the highest, the progenitor of nations. See, in thee shall nations be blessed. Why, we do good if we get one of our brother old family blessed. See? But this man had the outreach of the world in his grasp, and the revelation was, Abram, I am your protector and your provider. Now, this dynamic revelation came to him, as it comes to us, the great basic one, what God wants to be to people. And he said, all right, if that's the case, that you are my protector and your my provider, I have a problem. And I wonder how you're going to handle it for me. Now, I know that that may sound like I'm saying something that's not in the book, but I'm not. You see, I'm saying exactly what's in the book, because over here in this second verse here, he said, what wilt thou give me? God said, I am your protector and provider. If he's protecting him, see? All right, if you're protecting me, then your protection's got to go to the place where I'm going to have a son. If you're providing for me, then your provision must go to the place I have a son. Because if you don't protect and provide for me, then Eliezer gets everything I've got. See, where's protection in that? You have a lot that somebody could just cart away on you. Now, he wants to have a son. So Abraham comes to God with this need. I have a need of a son. See, Lord God, what will you give me? Notice it. What will you give me, seeing I need a son? What are you going to do about my need? See, what is your need? My need is a son. Well, good, I'll give you a horse and buggy. Isn't that the way people think, though? See? God said you need a son. All right, that's your problem. That's your need. I am going to give you a son. See? If the son is the need, therefore you shall have the son. Now, right here, I want you to notice that God established himself as the provider of every single promise. And he is faithful to us. And he is not the great I was, but he is the great I am, and he never changes. And he still wants to provide us with every single need, no matter what it is, no matter how fixed, even far-fixed, even as it was for the time of Abraham. Now, we must learn this and never forget it, that according to the first actual prayer ever uttered, this law is established, that God answers according to need. Well, that may sound strange to you, but that's right. Now, here's where we're going to learn a tremendous truth, simple as ABC, but absolutely as deep as the whole gamut of every answered prayer in this world. Because God said, Abraham, what do you need? And Abraham said, I need a son. And God said, a son you shall have, because that is your need. Now the Bible says, my God shall supply all of your need by his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. This is where the verse of Pollard has its foundation. See, I am your protector and your provider. And that sums up, as I said, the whole of life. There isn't one single solitary thing in life you can find outside of those two things, protection and provision. And those are the two needs of life that sums up everything in life that has a need. Everything comes from it, protection and provision, nothing else outside those two. If you can find it, you're a great scholar. You're bigger than God. Because that's all God revealed himself to man for, and if God is sufficient for man, then this is it. Nothing can be found outside that constitutes a problem. I say nothing can be found outside these two sources. Protection, provision. Now he said, what is there within that realm that constitutes a problem? And he said, a son. And God said, that's your need? All right, I need it. You're going to have a son. See? My God shall supply your need. See? by his riches and glory. See, that's the foundation. So, the needy believer cries out tonight, like you and me, what can I expect from God? How will God deal with me? And the answer comes back, what is your need? What do you have need of? And we name them. And God says, I am going to supply that need. Now listen, this is the basis of your faith. Right. Because if God does not supply according to our needs, see? In other words, if we can't get our needs met, see? I can have my needs met. See? Why would you bother asking God for anything? No point in going to God, meet your own needs. See? But you get it now. The fact that we can have it is the basis of our faith. In other words, I have a need. That means I can have something in the place of that need, which is that answer. Now, I don't know what our problems are because I don't need to know. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus has the answer. See? In the Garden of Eden, when Adam had sinned, God had the answer. The answer was the bleeding lamb. And God covered Adam with those skins. When the Israelites were groaning in Egypt, in the heat of their day of oppression, God met every one of their needs. When Samaria was besieged by the Assyrians and they were literally turning into cannibals, God met the need. When Hezekiah cried to God when he was sick, God met him. When Israel had no food, he fed them manna. When they had no laws to live by, he gave them laws. When their children and cattle thirsted, he gave them water. When Peter was in prison, he sent an angel. When Paul and Silas were doomed to death, an earthquake set them free. When they didn't even have wine at Cana, God gave them wine. When Peter got into difficulty over taxes, having spoken out of turn, God gave him money. When Bartimaeus needed healing, God gave him his sight. The Syrophoenician woman got her request. The daughter of Jairus was brought back to life. And you can go through scripture hundreds upon hundreds, and the literal history of the Bible is based upon God filling his promises, whichever promise he had given to them. So there is absolutely nothing in the realm of whatever our need is, springing from protection and provision, but what God has that answer for us. In other words, the answer to every prayer is a need. It's based upon a need. Otherwise, men would not pray. Now, I know what we're thinking tonight. We're thinking, yes, but there are conditions that go along with this, are there not? That's true. Many times there are conditions. Now, I'm not saying there are not. But what we're dealing with tonight is this, that God can give me the answer. In other words, I can get my need met. Because God answers prayer according to the need. And the need is what brings forth the prayer. See? I can have my need met. Now, notice again, Abraham. When he heard the revelation, God said, I'm protector and provider. He said, all right, what's it going to do for me? Let's test it. I've got a need. Now, what are you going to do about the fact that I don't have a son and I need a son? God says, all right, you'll get your son. You see? So that the prayer, based upon the need assures you that you'll get the answer. Now, you see, that's exactly what we're not taught. We're taught that the need doesn't assure you you'll get the answer. Or let me put it this way, can have the answer. You say, well, maybe there's, we think of conditions, we think of this, and we wonder, can I really get my need met? Until a person knows that he can get his need met, you can never exercise faith. I don't care if it's your faith, the faith of God is both of them put together. See? Because it just won't work. See? God answers according to need. There's a need, and God's going to do something about it. See, once you get that in your mind fixed, I can have my problem met. Most of look around and think, oh, my, I'll never get this problem met. But you can get it met. Now, I can have my need met. That's the thing that you've got to get ingrained in you, and is based upon the Word of God, so therefore we can have it done. Just like Jesus said, they said, Lord, can you heal this boy? And he said, if thou canst believe. In other words, you've got a need here. See? Do you realize the need can be met?
And God will do it for you. See?
I can have my need met. See, that's the whole thing. I can have it.
I don't care what the need is. We're not even talking about that. Because we mentioned the need. The woman had the seraphim had a daughter. The daughter wasn't entitled to healing even. A poor woman had given all her money away. Still had her issue of blood. Bartimaeus, crying out. The man born blind. The man at the pool. 40 years. The man at the gate, beautiful. Every single place you'll see that somebody had a need and God met that need. See? Now, there isn't one thing in the Word that's not covered by a promise. There isn't one thing that in all our lives is not covered by God's provision of protection. And so, therefore, we can have our needs met. Now, let me show you something here. I think I said this before. That someone advertised the paper and said, well, we can make you an artist. Well, I'd say the guy's a liar. You can't make me an artist. I don't have it in me. See? Now, I could practice and practice and practice. No good. I can't be an artist. Riding through the mountains, and I particularly wanted to see the mountains this time of year, and the Lord was good enough to let me have, I planned fall meetings for Lebanon, and I got a little work around the house to do, and it worked out just right, maybe through my conniving or God's goodness, maybe I hope it's more His goodness than my conniving, to make it just exactly when the trees are right. Well, I didn't know if they'd come early or late. But the Lord is good, so I came exactly right, because I see they're fading at some spot now. My, what beautiful trees. And if they'll be like all I should go down the road, I'm going to deliberately try to keep them in my mind. I looked at a tree and I'd look as hard as I could and say, now I'm going to recall that to my mind so I can see that beautiful tree just, oh, they're fantastic. Of course, fall is my time of year, and it's just fantastic. And you know, gone. And I don't know what those trees look like. I go riding for miles more, and I see them and I love them, and I say, I'm going to remember what that tree looks like. The ones we saw coming up on the parkway, I can remember a little bit. Because I kind of remember that some had a little green and a little red. And I'll forget that by tomorrow. But you see, the thing is, I don't have what an artist has got to have. See? Because an artist puts on paper what's in his mind. See? It comes out what is in here. See? I can't be an artist. I don't have that. I couldn't even be a mechanic. If I took a clock apart, I've got enough parts over for two more clocks. It just doesn't work. See? See, I'm showing you there's some things you can't have. Don't kid yourself. See? But when it comes to your needs, they can be met. See, there's the thing where we fail. See? Because this is the first prayer, and it's the basic to all faith. I can have this need met. See? Now, let's take an example of what I'm driving at. A really good example is the truth of Miriam. Now, here was a woman who was sort of a prophetess. Now, I don't know just what kind of a prophetess she was, because, she didn't do too much prophesying. She sort of got all inspired and sang a little bit and danced a little bit, and that's all right. Now, she spoke against Moses. And when she spoke evil against the Lord's anointed, she was smitten with leprosy. God struck her. Now, the devil didn't strike her. God struck her. Because God deals with His own people, not the devil. So she was smitten with leprosy. Now, here is Miriam, as white as snow, ready to rot away in death. But what happens? Moses cries to God. He loves his sister. He forgives her her sin. And he falls on his face before God. And what happens? God heals her. Now notice, Miriam brought on this condition herself. See? Which is true. Nobody else did it. She asked for it. Plain English. We use that expression. But with her need, God still healed her. You see? Now we're like Miriam. Over 90% of all of our problems we bring on ourselves. See? And because we bring them on ourselves, we get a complex. And then we say, well, I just don't think God will do anything about this because I brought it on myself. But that's not so. Miriam brought on her own trouble. See? We're just like her. We're our own worst enemy. We bring on our problem. But is there a solution? And the answer is absolutely yet. Adam brought on his own problem. He brought on our own problem. There are very few problems that we don't bring on ourselves. See? In this whole world, we're just like the scripture says, man that is born, a woman is born under trouble like the sparks upward. That's true. And he's born unto being a creature that does a lot of bad things too. Even the very best have a tremendous sign of walking rigidly under the forces of discipline that keep their bodies under. and then lived exactly right. But you'll notice here that Moses had compassion for his sister. And though she was wrong, she still had a need. And because she had a need, that answer from God came. Now in Matthew 14:14, you'll find this is true. Because it said, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed them. You will notice that the need of the people is what moved Jesus to compassion. How did they get sick? I don't know. Some of them might have been a bunch of drunkards. Some of them might have been out there messing around doing wrong things. Some of them might have got hurt in an accident by which when robbing somebody else, maybe, you know, there's 101 things that could happen to a man. And maybe people just live intemperately, see? And they don't live according to what the way they should live. But it says that Jesus saw them, and he saw them with a need. And the need moved him to compassion. Notice it was the need that inspired the compassion, see? Like the Bible says, you got a brother come to you, and he's not too well dressed. He's lacking in clothing and food. And you've got the ability to help that person. And yet you shut up your bowels of compassion. And you say, I'm not going to help him. Here, son, God bless you. I'll pray for you. Maybe somebody down the road can give you dinner. Why, he said, how say the love of God is in a person that shuts up his bowels of compassion? Then, if we are to see a need and be moved by compassion, then the need brings on the compassion, and the answer comes on because the man's got a need. See? You give because he's got a need. Doesn't say you give because you got a pretty brown eye and a nice smile and dip in his chin or someplace else. Doesn't say even I'm going to cut wood for a week and draw your water and make bricks and a few other things. Or maybe he's a friend of your cousin Joe or something like that. It has nothing to do with it. The point is the fellow's got a need. See? And because he's got a need, there's got to be an answer. Now, that's what God said. I'm your provider. See? And he had compassion because of their need. Now, the same thing applies in Hebrews 4:15. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmity. See? Now, if he's touched with the feeling of our infirmity, what's he going to do about it? Well, he's going to say, well, I feel for you, but I can't reach you. That's a human expression. Meaning, well, I'd like to help you, but you're not going to get this chicken doing it. See? That's human. That's not Christ. See? Now, we're prone to judge Christ because he warned Balaam, he said, you thought I was a man altogether such like you were. See? But God is not a man. But he should repent. See? Can't change his mind. Now, he works on the grounds of a need. It's the need that gives the compassion. Now, we studied in faith, we understand that God being a Savior, he had to have a sinner. God being a provider, he had to create a person need provision. That's one of his compound titles, the provider, see? The Lord is my shepherd and all. Now, therefore, it's the need of men that God responds to. You follow me? All right, 99 sheep lay in the fold. The songwriter says, based on the parable, of course, the poor songwriter not being in the Holy Ghost, a little more sentimental than having the power of God, got all fouled up. The 99 needed to repent, but they were a bunch of self-righteous critters. There was one out there who was lost, and he knew that he was lost, and God went and got him. And the moral of the parable was, the Lord rejoices over one sinner that repents because he needs repentance, than 99 just that don't need it. Now, if God had 99 healthy people, he could only be glorified in one unhealthy person. If God had 99 righteous people, hadn't even looked out of the corner of their eye or screamed in holy terror when they saw something evil and ran away, that wouldn't do one thing for God. The only thing that would do anything for God is a sinner that knows he's a sinner. In other words, there's got to be a need. Now, the answer is according to need. See? You don't see anybody with two thumbs, he's a monstrosity. You needed one thumb, God gave you one thumb on one hand. You need a thumb on the other hand, God gave you a thumb on the other hand. You need these four fingers, God gave you four fingers. Now, you know the Bible speaks out against these 11-toed giants and all stuff like that. You know, that's ridiculous. Great big monstrosities. God's not in that, see? God's here to meet need. And the thing is, I can have my need met, see? I can have it, see? This is something I can have. It's a need. Say, well, God answers legitimate needs. There isn't any need that is legitimate. It's all illegitimate. On the other hand, it's all legitimate because God saw they got here. So a little legitimate or illegitimate doesn't make any difference. A need's a need. See? And God answers according to, see, I want to get you to see the point. If we can ever get here, God will help us get here. We've got this thing sewn up in a little 10-cent bag. You don't need a big dollar-sized bag. That's just big gets it quick. Because I can have my need met. I can have it met. And if you can have it met, the next thing is you're going to have it met. See? See, that's what we're talking about. In the 103rd Psalm, which we see here, is 1 verses 1 to 13. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now notice, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. All that you calculated to do, all you were trapped into doing, who healeth all your diseases. Now, if this were the way some people were, there'd be some diseases that couldn't be healed. See? But it says all my diseases. But Brother Dale, I want you to know the reason my heart's and my stomach's bad is because I've been an alcoholic. Well, so what? I can find people just as bad stomach and just as bad heart who haven't had a nip of alcohol. They didn't even indulge in a little smell of catnip to get them sort of up high. That doesn't mean a thing. See, I know that man, he's going to have what's coming to him. What's coming to him? See? If you've got a God who healeth all your diseases, then he heals all the diseases. See? I don't care what it is, cancer, you name it, doesn't matter what it is. See? He forgives all iniquities. Yeah, but I don't know if you'll do anything about this, you see, because there's nothing, there's no because about it. You think for 1 minute that David's sin wasn't premeditated? Certainly premeditated. It says, who crowneth thee with what? Loving kindness and tender mercies, and who satisfies thee with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Now, when does a man need mercy? When he's done something wrong. See? So whether you bring it on yourself or not, that's not the question. See? And conditions right now aren't the question. The condition is, can I get this need met, or is there a possibility that God does not meet certain needs? Now, if he doesn't meet certain needs, you better find out what they are. I've got a blanket right here because he said he healed all our diseases. See? Forgives all our iniquity. And he satisfies our mouths. See? That takes care of the stomach. And furthermore, he doesn't get mad. And if he had a chance to get mad, which he would have, except by the propitiation of Christ now, because there is peace with God and he can't get mad. Now he can chasten you, but doing it, he never gets mad doing it. See, God got mad, whoops, you know he didn't. God wasn't mad at all. He can't get mad. If he got mad, his judgment would be distorted. Because in anger, your judgment gets distorted. God couldn't get mad if he tried. Not with his own. No, sir. Wrath is passed on Christ. Now he says, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger. The word anger, of course, is not in the original. Neither will he keep himself from doing something about conditions. That's true. But notice what it says. That's to the sinner. He hath not dealt with us. See? After our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. See, well, I brought this on myself. I shouldn't have done it. See? Well, I got to be a special price. Missing the boat again, see? I don't think God will do it. No, you see, you missed the boat. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. See? If he dealt with us according to our sins, then we'd have to pay the uttermost farthing. You don't find God talking about anybody paying an uttermost farthing for his sins because they're blotted out in Christ. The only time that you pay a farthing for disobeying God is on the grounds of grace. Because he said, agree with an adversary when he pops you in the nose. I'm sorry, I guess something happened that shouldn't happen somewhere. You saw something that you didn't like. I'm just sorry I made you angry. Somebody ought to pop me in the nose. Availing yourself of God's grace. is what God frowns on. Right?
Right here in the Bible, I can back up every statement I make.
It's not your needs. I don't care how your needs came. I don't care how mine came.
God dealt with me when I wouldn't listen to God. I wouldn't avail myself of His grace. I refused the grace of God and quit preaching for about 9 years. I was ready for the nut house. The doctor had gone to a psychiatrist. I only had gone twice, and he was trying to help me. He liked me real well because he could see that I had an understanding of certain things, that I was being beat to death in my condition. I'd gone to the doctors, the clinics, I'd keep me the pituitary gland. They might as well have said, you got fungus on your feet. I was just so far gone, it didn't much matter. Wondering how to commit suicide, wondering everything. And then suddenly in God, there it bang, it's all over. And there's no condemnation, no sickness. And my own sister stood back and they couldn't relate to that dirty skunk. I can't figure it. Now, how in the world did God bless that guy, put him back to ministry, give him a better ministry to heaven, set him free? Now, he should have had his head bounced around somewhere.
Human reasoning. He does not reward us according to our sin.
Amen.
See? Amen. See, because God has turned away wrath in Christ Jesus. But He does frown when we don't avail ourselves of His grace and let Him protect us and provide us. You follow me? Now we're getting somewhere. See? For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. And as far as east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children. Why? Because they don't know any better.
I don't know if you think you get old as me and you raise kids. Oh, I guess Newt knows a little thing about it. You rest, you folk are just kind of growing up, you know. Not old, you're not bearded pappies like us. Brother Shaw there, of course, and he might qualify too. I guess he does.
All right, because his kids are gone married. We're the ones who know that our kids don't know that we love them and pity them because they don't know we're trying to help.
And what we do. Sure, that's the whole thing. See, He pities us like a father. So what in the world matter with those kids? They think they're getting picked on. So they're being deprived. What it is they don't understand. And then, of course, they get in trouble. And then we do our best, but somehow it doesn't reach. And that's what it is of God. He knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Now, you know what dust is? It's pretty unstable. The only time dust is stable is when there's water in it. And that's the Holy Ghost, of course. Water word. Unstable, see? Now, He knows it. He knows our frame is dust. But He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity, see? And He wants to help us. See, but we got to get it through these skulls that He wants to help us, and we can get help. See, I don't care what the need is. The need is actually the open door to God. See, because if there weren't any needs, then God wouldn't be worth anything to us. And so being God, He's smart enough to see there's a lot of needs on Him. Now, the thing is that I can have my need met. It does not matter what it is, from the cradle to the grave. From the drying our eyes to the raising the dead. From moving a toothpick to moving a mountain. See, now, I said never mind about conditions. Because we'll get to them after a while. The important thing is, I have something to receive from God. I have something that God said I can have, and I can have it. And I don't care if it takes something on my part to get it. The thing is, I can still have it. See? Now, here's the thing. We've all read the scripture. Read it again. Turn to James 5. I'm just expressing from my heart what I believe is in your heart in order to help us all tonight. To get up, get our troubles cleared up. Now, it says here in verse 13, James 5, sorry. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith sick in the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your fault one to another, and pray for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now when James wrote verse 15, he actually had to put in verse 16 to make sure you got how it should be done. And it's confess your faults, have prayer by the elders,
And it'll be done. But listen, how many believe that? No. We don't believe that. Why? On what ground? Because we figure, well, if I do confess my faults, will I really get healed? See? So I'm showing you, all this talk about meeting conditions is not where your faith lies. See? You can meet a million conditions and still not believe God. Well, I did it, will it happen? I did it, will it happen? No. See? I've got a need. I can have my need met. It says the condition is confessed by fault. Oh, bless God, and I'll confess my fault. Hallelujah, dance away. But we read it and we don't say, well, I can have it met. We say, well, when I do confess, you think it'll really happen? Now, come on, be honest with me. Because if anybody here was dying of cancer and had some incurable disease, remember, your confessing of your fault is to the person, not to the world. You don't drag it out in public and involve people. You go to the person involved. Now, you tell me tonight. Now, I'm wearing glasses. I haven't had to wear them till this time. About a year ago, started for a little bit of reading. And the eyesight doesn't improve any. It gets worse. All right. What lies in it? Does it lie in the fact that I need to confess and that'll do it? Could be. But the point is, do I believe if I do confess it will happen? See? In other words, we're still up that old creek. We're just saying, well, I can do it, but I just wonder if it will happen. See? Certainly it'll happen. Now that I've done it, that's it. See? But we're not convinced that God does meet those needs. Because we don't believe the Bible like we ought to. We look at conditions around about us. We see everything happening. We say, well, he didn't meet this one over here. Didn't meet that over there. Didn't he? Oh, yes, God will meet. God will. And there isn't anybody under the sun, especially a born-again believer, but that every single promise in the book is his. He can have every single promise. Not one missing. Not one word. See? The thing is, I can have it. Not the neighbor. See? Not maybe so. That's why I bypass these conditions. See, I want to keep them out of your hair. I want you to get to it. Because the major thing, I can have it. Because if there are conditions, that's nothing but tiddlywinks. Once you're convinced, you can have it. You say, look at the man here. He's convinced there's gold out there in the hills. He'll suffer any kind of deprivation going to get that gold. Person convinced there's diamonds, he'll take the blistering hot sun and almost die to get those diamonds. If you really knew tonight that you could go down this road here like some people hope they can, like the Hindus do, and measure your body, take off most of your clothes, you'll have your body lacerated with the rocks and all, and measure yourself again, put your body down in. If you knew, like people hope to get something done for themselves, if you knew that you could possibly have your disease healed, there wouldn't be one of us here who wouldn't strip down to it. See, we're on it. Can I get my knee met? Will I really get this knee met? See, can I get my knee? And if you ever get told that you can get that knee met, I check like the Hindus do, and measure your body, take off most of your clothes, you'll have your body lacerated with the rock and all, and measure yourself again, put your body down in. If you knew, like people hope to get something done for themselves, if you knew that you could possibly have your disease healed, there wouldn't be one of us here who wouldn't strip down to it. See, we're on it. Can I get my knee met? Will I really get this knee met? See, can I get my knee? And if you ever get told that you can get that knee met, I tell you the meeting of the condition is next to nothing. See, it's next to nothing. Because what won't a person do if it's in the realm of possibility, if he knows he'll get what he's after? God knew that. Why, he said, I'm gonna watch these people here because from now on there's nothing that they can't conceive but what they won't do. See, but the Christian's battled by the devil. The devil all comes on, and we say, well, now, look, you deserve it. You did so-and-so. No, you can't have that. Imagine it. 50,000 things. Well, all God started with Abraham. Abraham, you got a need? Lord, I sure got a big need. You need a son? Well, he said, your son, you're going to have. See? Believe tonight. Now, you'll notice something else here. The way God answers Abraham's prayer. He took him out and showed him the stars. And he said, you only asked for one son. That's all right. But he said, look, I'm going to make your descendants like the stars for multitude and like the sands of the seashore for number.
And he was saying, look, you are dealing with me, the great I am. If the heavens cannot contain me, then you are selling me short because you're not asking largely. Now, the Bible says you ask largely that your joys might be filled. In other words, God is a provider, but he's a big provider. He's a lavish provider. He's liberal. See? Not just can I have my need met, but can I abundantly have my need met? My God is not able to supply needs by his riches and glory, but it's the exceeding abundance that God deals in. See? And Abraham is selling him short. Now, God has always hungered to be God to his people. It's like the case of Adam. When he created the heavens and the earth, he put Adam over the whole earth. He didn't give Adam just one little thing and said, now, Adam, you can have this one corner here. Just be sure you don't move out of it. He told Adam, he said, look, I've got you, you've got dominion over the whole earth. It's up to you to replenish that earth and to propagate, see? And it was up to Eve. But they were to do it together. And she stepped out of line, of course, and became the fertile ground for the serpent seed. Now, Adam owned it all, see? Because God is a big God, see? Now, Adam didn't need it all. See, but he owned it all. But God knew there'd be a day coming when Adam's seed and whatever else came in wouldn't need it all. And if we don't stop propagating, we're going to be standing on each other's shoulders. See? Christians have never learned that God is a God of oversupply. Take the example of Israel leaving Egypt. God didn't just say, Moses, go on down there and we're going to let him come on out. God made it so abundantly evident that he'd bring them out that they forced them out. See? God's a big God. Look at Lazarus. God didn't say, well, Lazarus died last night. We'll go down this morning. That means he's dead 4 hours. We'll take care of him. God let him be there 4 days until the body was turning into liquid. God didn't just say, now go lay down and lay hands upon the sick. He said, Peter, we'll do something else. Wherever you walk, that shadow will fall. They'll be healed by the multitude. In other words, God says the uttermost to the uttermost. And we say, how big is God? See? Well, we say God can save any kind of sinner. Well, if God can save any kind of sinner, he can meet any need. See? The question comes, people are asking, say, how do I know if I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Can I get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Certainly. If you feel there's a need for the Holy Ghost, then that Holy Ghost got to come. See? So what am I going to do about it? That's not the point. It's what God's going to do about it, because you can't do anything about it. He's the one that fills the Holy Ghost. He puts in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? What do we need tonight? Healing, baptism. Doesn't matter what it is. The point is to see, I've got a need. I can have that need met. See? There's too many people who don't know that, because we go by experience rather than the Word of God. And remember, this is the place where it started. It started based upon a need. God revealed himself to Abraham. And the revelation of God to Abraham would not have been acceptable except that Abraham had a need. If he hadn't had a need, God couldn't have done anything. But he had a need. And because that's all he had was a need, God went to work on that need for him. If our need is financial, God has the answer. Now, I know that's bugged a lot of people. I know it bugged one fella down from down south, and I threw him for a loop, named Bob King, very sweet boy down there in Columbia, South Carolina. And my friend Ned Harrison said, Lee, I want you to come and pray for Bob. He's got financial trouble. He's going broke. I said, I don't have to bother praying for him. I said, this is no matter of prayer. I said, you don't get anything but praying to God for finances. The Bible says, give. Start giving. Now, the thing is, I've got a need. God says he'll supply. Given it shall be given. The point is, will God really meet your needs? What if it does cost you something to give? Well, I got $30 or $100 in the bank and I'll write a couple of checks up for $10 or $15 apiece. Now the point is, will God give that back multiplied? Certainly he will. As far as I'm concerned, didn't only say what he did. That's where I got my start. I'm not any way up in the cloud. Don't worry, I'm not any plutocrat or tycoon or anything else. You got need? It started back when I had a need so bad because I've never had anybody stand behind me. Never had a guarantee of anything. Back years, years back now. I've been working on the field over 10 years by myself with no guarantee of anything. Of any description. But I had a need. And God said he'd supply that need. But he said, you give. See, now the thing is that I believe that he will do it. The condition can be met. We get our eyes on condition. You can forget about condition. The condition is nothing. That's a little tiddlywink thing. The big thing is, can I get that need met? Can I have this sickness deterred? Can I have this problem dissolved? The thing is, yes, I can have it dissolved. Are there conditions? So what if there are conditions? Not a thing to do with it. What the point I'm driving, sure there's something to do with it, but the point I'm driving at tonight, see? Now, this is how God works, see? And this is what we need the revelation of tonight. God does meet our need. I can have this need met, see? Don't put the need up and see, I wonder if it'll be done. I know it has been done, but I wonder if it'll be done. Will it be done? You put your need up and say, it can be done and it will be done. See? Will I get better? Absolutely. See, the main thing. Can I get better? Yes, I can get better. Heal all my diseases. See? Now, is there a condition involved? Fine, we'll meet the condition. See? But I want you to see the conditions don't deter anybody once your soul on them. Here's a man say, all right, I'm going to sell you some stock that'll double itself. Well, if you knew that there was going to be stock doubling itself today, tomorrow, because some company's going to take their stocks and divide them in two, you know, divide his stock, so that your one share will be now worth two shares. You heard about it. What would you do to get those stocks? You said, I'd mortgage my home, I'd go to everybody I could, I'd just do everything I could without letting them know what I was going to do, and I'd take every single cent, I'd put it in that stock, and then just as soon as that stock doubled, I'd turn around and sell it, and I'd go to 100% profit. In other words, you wouldn't care anything about what you went through because you were convinced that stock would double. No, I had a friend that did that. In the old days before Depression, Brother Ball is now a fine brother in the Lord. He was a band leader. He was a man who did a lot of interior decorating. He still does it. Very expensive man to hire because he has to pastor and he won't work too hard. He's getting old too. But the work he does is very, very expensive work. But he's got so much that people still want him. And he had a business that netted him about $50,000 a year. He also played his band. That made him money. Anytime he felt like it, he could take a car, charter a train, sell it out to New York, take his whole band with him, live like a king, see? Made a lot of money. During that time, a fellow said to him, he said, Mr. Baller, I forget his first name now. They called him by his first name. He said, the gas company here, he said, is going to double its stock tomorrow. He said, you can put in, or I don't know what they're going to do. It's going to be really something big. And he, if Ball got his hands on $10,000, he'd come up with about $40,000 profit. Was going to amount to. So he just went into the bank, borrowed $10,000, threw it into the stock, and next day walked up $40,000 profit. Now, if that man really would have had to beg, borrow, steal, or take a gun, I think he'd have done it. Now, Christians don't do this, but I'm showing you the point. You let a fellow be sold that he can't have it. He's going to, from there on, it's all over, see? From there on, see? And what Christians don't realize, I can have it. Based on what? Based on a need. See? Based on a need. Well, we say, well, all I've got, God, is a need. Well, if that's all I have need of is your need. My riches are based upon your need. My riches cannot be based upon anything but a need. How can God show righteousness apart from a sinner? How can he show healing apart from a sick person? How can he show provision apart from a needy person? How can God do anything under high heaven except based upon a need? It was the need that moved God with compassion. All they had was their needs out there. I don't care how they got them. The poor old girl, the issue of blood, she could have been syphilitic for all I know. Anything else, that didn't matter. That wasn't the point. One fellow might have had his eyes gouged up because he tried to rob somebody. A fellow got him with a spear. That wasn't the point. The point was they had a need. And every need can be met, whether you think that need has a righteous basis or an illegal basis. Let me tell you this. There isn't one need in this world that doesn't have an unrighteous basis because it was sin that brought the whole shemazel in. So whether you did it yourself or somebody else caused it makes no difference. See? The thing is, I can have my need met. Now, we've got to understand that because that's where the revelation lies. Now, God has the answer. And the answer is ours. That is true. Nothing is impossible unto us. We say tonight, I can have it. It is mine. Now, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given you. See? Ask.
Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Now, those are three movements we go through perhaps. Asking, seeking, or knocking and seeking. See? In other words, ask for it. Keep looking for it. Really, search for it. There may be involved in there, as I say, some conditions to be met. But that is all right. Now, I hope you can see what I'm driving at, because I don't want you to get all bound up in your mind concerning conditions. See? Because there is not one condition laid down that can't be met. See, that's the whole thing. There isn't one. Now, most of those conditions simply lie in the tongue. In other words, is to make an apology or to say something to put things right. Now, in other words, we must fill ourselves up with the truth that we can have what we have need of. Now, let's go back to Abraham before we close here and see this truth. Now, look at Abraham. He needed a son, right? That was his need. He had everything else, but he wanted that son. And he said, Lord, I want a son. I need a son. And God said, all right, a son you shall have. Now, you'll notice that when he got the promise, he was tried. See? Certainly he was tried. That's not it. See, there were conditions. There's a condition there, see? Now, his body gets old. He doesn't look at it. His wife Sarah gets old. Doesn't look at it. See? What was it? God had promised. See? And nothing can change the truth. I can have it because God said it is mine. See? So that's what we're driving at tonight, and we must instill in our hearts, because this is the basis of our faith and prayer. I've got a need. And God says in his word, I can have that need met. And I doubt if you can find one single solitary thing in your life that's not covered by the word. In fact, if you can find one problem that is not covered by the word, then you have put God out of business. Because then God's not big enough. See? His grace is not big enough. His arm is not big enough. He was bluffing when he said, ask anything. Is anything too hard for the Lord? See? But God's cry has always been against the people. Because they have never taken him to be their protection provider. They don't think he'll do a good enough job. See? David did. Well, David walked in that light, he was fine. Saul wouldn't do it. No, sir, Saul never would. He would not believe that God would supply his needs. He wouldn't believe that God would do it. Take care of him. And he got destroyed. But the old David goes there, he just threw off his armor, everything, because he was old slain. Take care of him. And he got destroyed, but the old David goes there, he just threw off his armor, everything, because he was old slingshot in the stone, that God got him, destroyed the giant. See? The giant was so bold, he said, I don't even need a sword, you just stick you to pieces, pluck the flesh off your bones, and feed you the birds. So you know, David wasn't any of that kind of a fool to go near, and he just took a slingshot. See? He wasn't going to get tangling in there. Now, don't tell me David was that good a shot. And no young kid could grab a lion or a bear by the beard either and twist his tail and knock him for loop. Anybody knows that he was glorifying God, that God gave him that power. See, the need was there, and God met the need. But you see, David stepped out. He said, I can have my need met. See? I can have it met. See, it doesn't matter what it is. See, I know people now. Here now, we're going to about close with this thought. We have a case like Paul. Now, I know some people think, well, here's something that can't be met. God won't do it. And I challenge that. Because when Paul had his dilemma, after having written the scripture given by God, how that God supplied every need by his riches and glory, how that the Lord would heal the Spirit of God, that raised up Jesus, dwell in you. That same Spirit will quicken your mortal body. That's not the resurrection, that's the voice of healing. That's right today, see. Now, after Paul had written all that, he was bothered with an infirmity. And he sought God three times. Now, here's the kind of faith he had. And when the third time it didn't go, he said, what's going on here? Why is this need not met? And God gave him a special divine revelation that though every other need would be met, that one need would not be met because he needed it for a higher purpose. And the very same thing happened to William Branham. He said the Lord revealed to him he would never lose that nervousness until he died. That's why we should have known when he said he knew God had healed him, was healing him and wouldn't be back anymore, that he'd have to die, because that was the original promise. And God can't go back on his original promise. You see, the revelation was there because God Almighty had to take the person aside and say, for reasons of grace, relative to the welfare of my people,
in which you play this leading part. Now, it's happened only at the first of the book, and it's happened at the back of the book, but you can't find any place where it happened in the middle. Because Paul was the first messenger, William Branham was the last one. And there's nothing in the scripture anywhere. Because God will not give you and me, we being what we are, just simple folk in the gospel. There is no revelation for you and me of God bypassing us for a higher purpose. Because we don't have a higher purpose. We're not leaders. We don't have a message to the world in the sense that they have. We don't have that revelation because that's where the thing came in for the purpose, because those men with revelation apart from something to tear them down, they would have been in danger to have the same thing in their lives. We see these men with their tents and their crazy money programs and everything else. You and I don't have that. Let me tell you, if there were that were to happen to you and me in the future, and something were to come to you and me, and you know what we could do, just like Paul? Something happens and we pray and it doesn't happen, pray and it doesn't happen, pray again, it doesn't happen. Just say, Lord, it's just like Paul, and you know what will happen? You won't even hear from him. You'll just know one thing. You can have it. Because it would take a special dispensation of God to rescind that one thing. And both, and you notice both of those men, there was just one thing they couldn't have. And that was because of the grace of God for their own good. And they suffered and became better men for it. And so therefore, the answer was still given. Because the answer was the need of abundant grace above their fellow men. They had to have it. So we got it. We got the word tonight from the beginning. The very first man to pray, our actual recorded prayer, based on a revelation from God. And the first revelation, which is the basic and mightiest revelation to the child of faith, God wants to supply all of our needs by himself. See, everyone. He wants to both protect us and provide in that order, because that is the real order. If he'd have said provide and protect, then I knew it couldn't be God. Because first things come first. Protection comes first. Even as forgiveth all thine iniquities, proceed healeth all thy disease. First things first. See? Just like before there was ever a sinner, there had to be a Savior. Otherwise, God would never lift an hand. Before there was a problem, there had to be an answer. Before there was a need, there was a provision already sitting. Before there was a sheep, there was a shepherd. Before there was anything, God was what he was. And God not only contained the answer, he was the answer, he provided the answer. The answer for this age lay in the world evolving for millions of years until the coal fields and all these things were laid down, the oil and all. How they came, I'm not prepared to say, and I care less. Whether a bunch of fish got rotted down there and made the oil, I care not. If the coal is made out of a bunch of plants, that's fine. I don't care what it's made of. I'm not arguing the point. I'm not arguing the world is 5.25 billion, 20 billion years old. I don't care. I only know one thing. From the way God wrote the book, that he made everything propitious for man. See, the provision was there before man got here. And the provision is still here. See, every need, I can have it. See, that thing, I can have it. Why aren't people coming through to the Holy Ghost these days the way they want to be? Because they're not convinced they can have it. You've got to be convinced you can have it. The minute you're convinced you can have it, if they said, stand on your head. And you never stood in your head. And if they put your arms to wiggle both heels, you'd figure a way to stand in your head and wiggle both heels. You wouldn't have your own. Like I said tonight, it's embarrassing to confess our fault. But just let anyone tonight be assured that he can have his healing. You watch, there isn't one who wouldn't go down and make everything right. See, the conviction must be there. But this is the basic of all prayer. I've got a need. And that is the reason why I can be heard. In other words, the answer or the need is basic to the answer. The asking prayer is based in a need, and I can have it. What do I need in it? I don't know what I need. Who cares? See, can I have it? Well, Sister Smith died of this thing that I've got. I don't care if Mr. Smith, Mr. Smith, and all the Smith kids died of it. They didn't believe they could have it. See? Jesus said, believest thou this? See? Do you believe you can have it? See, are you sure that you can have it? The Bible says you're sure. The surety lies in Christ. What lies in you is the Holy Ghost. That made every promise sure when you got sealed in by the Holy Ghost. That made every promise sure and worthwhile. Not one to fail. No one, see? You got the token. See, so I can have it. I can have it.
What about the couple that came to Dr. Price years ago? One of his great miracles. He almost retired off the field of what his activity was before. Said she was absolutely childless because they had performed a hysterectomy on her. Impossible to have a child. All the organs cut out. And yet when they came back the next year, he dedicated the baby. It wasn't adopted. It wasn't test tube. It wasn't this. It wasn't that. It was a child born naturally, the natural parent. See, the need, doesn't matter what the need is. Never mind how God meets it, hasn't got a thing to do with you. When he meets it also is his time. The main thing is to be satisfied. Does Scripture back this up? Can you get your needs met? Or is there a loophole? Now we learned by faith before that God is not pleased with those who he cannot reward. God's not pleased with those that he can't do things. But he can't do things for those who don't have a need. So therefore, your need has two things. It guarantees God that he can do it for you. And it guarantees you he can have something done. By God, King of Kings, the Lord himself. I can have it. You follow me, right? To get this is to get the secret of going to God in prayer and meeting any condition. Because I stand here, I'm absolutely convinced that when you know you can have it, you've got it made. They called me today, they said, Brother Bale, can you come down to Florida and pastor? There's an independent group down here left the churches. I said, I don't know, I'll pray about it. I said, you better pray about it. I wasn't too fussy about going to the tent. Sure, I wanted to go. But I didn't know that I could go. I didn't understand what all was involved. So they prayed and I prayed. Finally, they got real urgent. The phone calls again coming in. And I couldn't stall them anymore. So I said, I'll give you an answer. And that night before I went to bed with absolute just, not carelessness, but a carefreeness. I meant it. I said, God, I don't care if I go or I don't go. I just know one thing. I want you to let me know if I'm to go, and that settles it. And I don't care if I go or not, but the first thing tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'll know if I'm to go or not go. I went to bed, had a pretty good night's sleep as far as I know, and then I opened my eyes to bounce out of bed. There it was. I said, I'm going to Florida. I went to get my visa, and they said, well, Reverend Bale, it doesn't mean that you're going to be able to go, then now that you applied, I said, I realize that. But they said, so therefore, don't start selling your furniture now. I went right home and started selling the furniture. Fella talked to me, he said, you know, he said, our Lutheran preacher, he didn't get to go for 2 years. I said, I'm not your Lutheran preacher. And I wasn't. I didn't care if it took him 2 years, 20 years, 2 months, or what. I knew that I could go to Florida. See? That was the thing. I knew I could. What about obstacles? Hang the obstacles. That doesn't mean anything. See? Doesn't mean a thing. Condition didn't mean a thing. How are you going to get money? The money doesn't matter. The point, well, all right, you need a signer. So there are a couple of guys down in Florida signed. I thought, well, that's all right. Doesn't look like they got any but chicken feet. I go see a fellow near Bellingham there, Washington. Near Tacoma, in that area. And Brother Henny. And I didn't know if he had much money or not. I said, I want to get across the line. I need a co-signer. I said, you know, I'll never come back on you for any help. Well, he said, sure, I'll sign. He said, what do I need? I said, I don't know. Your banker put it down. It's your request. And you sent it, and I won't even look at it. Seal the envelope. I don't want to know what you're worth anything else. So he walked into the bank. And the bank said, well, he said, sure. He said, you got no trouble. He said, you could bring six guys across. I don't know what the fellow's worth. I didn't care. I knew if I needed the millionaire to sign it, then that was no problem. I didn't know where the millionaire was because I hadn't seen one. But he'd be around somewhere. See? The thing is, can I go? Well, if you can go, you're done gone. Doesn't matter when you start. That's the way God works. When he calls you, justifies you, and justifies you, glorifies. Calls you, glorifies. You see? You get the picture. I can have it. It's because, well, my age again. The age hasn't got anything to do with it. I prayed for an old fellow one time in a hospital. He must be 82 years of age as far as I know. The cancer got his throat. His tongue was already protruding from his mouth, choking him, filling up his throat. He was a Unitarian, Unity man. A friend of mine was in that hospital and seen him and talked, and he said, and she talked about prayer for the sick, and he said, he's glad to have me pray. I went in and just barely said a few words and prayed. The next thing I knew, they took him to the county hospital, out of the big hospital. Next thing you knew, he's all perfectly normal. You say, well, he's 82 years late, let him die. No, he didn't have to die. Sure, he's going to die sometime, let him die well.
You see, don't worry about those conditions. That's the thing that bugs everybody. See? Once you're settled, I can have it. See, I've got a need. See, that's sufficiency. Well, that's the women, they say, when they're young girls, well, I'm not too pretty, and I want Prince Charming. Oh, I love John, but what do you want me? See? I want Bill, what do you want me? I want George, what do you want me? See, always bringing up something. Don't do it. See? Just the one thing. I can have this. You follow me, right? Because that's exactly what the first recorded prayer in the Bible stands for, and God can't change. You can get it. See? What if it does cost something? I can have it. See, because why? Tonight, we are wondering, even if I do meet the condition, is it mine? I know what we're like. Don't worry. I may not talk human sometimes, but I'm pretty human up here. All I got to do is talk out of my heart, and I can nail you to the wall. Because you're no different. See, that's why Christ became flesh. He'd know all about it. That's why God didn't send angels. It wouldn't do one good an angel to come on down here and try to teach you folks. You know he didn't know what he was talking about, because he wasn't one of you. See? That's one thing, too, about Brother Branham. He was one of us. I don't care how high and mighty he was, what a great man, he's still one of us. And I don't care how punk am, I'm still one of you. And I know exactly what it is. See, we're not convinced we can have it, right? Huh? You follow us? Can we have it? See, that's it. The first prayer, remember, God lost what he did at the beginning. He's got to go all the way down the line. He can't change. See? Can't change. And he didn't change because of Jehovah God that appeared to him, appeared in the flesh. And he had compassion on those that had a need because he had a need to heal. See? The same Jehovah God that is, I am, that's his first Jehovah title. I am the Lord who is healing you now. And they cut the tree and threw it in the water. Let me ask you a question. Who brought that misery and Israel? Israel brought it on himself, but God healed. Oh, I'm honest with you tonight. I don't know anything, but I haven't brought it myself. Oh, you blame the ancestors. I know they put the genes there that a little more troublesome than other genes. But whether it's Gene or George, I can tell you one thing. I've got trouble with both Gene and George. Do you know what I mean? But you know something? God answers his letter. Why? Because it's his grace. It's his mercy. And I can have it. I can be healed of my bowel condition. I can be healed of my deafness. I can be healed of my heart condition. Now, you can't say, oh, God, take away this factor out here in this life that is building my character, but I can have peace and overcome in that condition. See, because what? God's our protector. Now, he couldn't be a protector. He wasn't not somebody taking a shot at you. See? To be a protector does not eliminate the sniper, but it makes the wind blow so the sniper's bullets get off your back. Miss Sterling. See? You follow me? I'm not talking about that here. We're talking about need. God needs me. Say, what about when the enemies get too sick? He'll even make enemies at peace. Don't worry. Give it time. Give it time. Abraham had to give God time, but he got the son, didn't he? And that's the condition. Sure, the condition. See, the point is this. Abraham knew he was going to have that son. That's why he didn't bother about his body. He said, so what? That'll never do it. He's just going to take God, so forget it. God, my body didn't promise the son. God promised the son. Sarah never said she'd deliver. God said Sarah would deliver. See? Now they had the need. See, that's the point. See? I can get this need. I can have my answer. See, I can have it. I will have it. I'm going to have it. It's mine. See, that's the point. This is the thing we've got to get in our mind. Because I know that once we get it, from there on, there isn't any problem. Because if God says, you do this, you say, well, that's fine, I'll do it. So what? This thing works. That's where the scripture speaks of this. It said, if you abide in my word, and, you know, that's to perform the word, then you're my disciple. That means to learn. You see? And then when you learn, the truth sets you free. What truth sets you free? The fact that you saw that it worked sets you free. So you can't wait to set in motion. What'll bring the answer? I can have it. I
can't have it. My God supply all your needs. Every affliction, every sin, every sickness, every problem. Doesn't that see? I can have it. You see it? And you know, folks, listen, this is so simple reading that your doctor sees. I picked up a book years ago. I got started reading, and I wanted to find out how to get real good health. And I knew the way, as far as I was concerned, was exercise and diet. Because I was quite convinced. Because this man I'd read about had raised himself almost from the dead by exercise and diet. He'd been given up by the greatest brains in the world, Dr. William Offer. Couldn't help him. Nobody could help him. In Johns Hopkins University at 54 years of age. And so he began studying diet. And I thought, now I got it all beat. All I got to do is grind the right food at the right time and eat the right thing. And exercise it, you know, do my jerk. And I'll be just a real powerful, healthy fella. And I picked up his miserable book, and the first thing he said, healing is in the mind. I had it. Throw the book down and forget it. See, that's just the way we are. See? And he told how it was when he believed. See? In other words, he saw the possibility, and he knew he could have. That's where it began working. Cliff said the same thing, dying of almost a collapsed condition, bleeding ulcers and all, and he received his healing on the grounds of what? It came because he knew he could have answers. See where it starts? Never mind the condition. Yeah, I know that's what the devil would use as a bugaboo every time, but that's not it, because we know by the natural realm that man lives in, that if he's only sure that he can have it, he doesn't care whether there's a pack of wild wolves ahead. He'll find somebody to do those wolves. See? But I'll tell you one thing. If he was in doubt that he could have it, do you think he'd bother those wolves? Huh. He didn't go near those wolves. And I know tonight, I'm convinced here tonight, if any of us have a problem that we know we can have licked by God, and there is a condition laid down, I am not worried that that condition will stop me. I'm not worried about it. Because I see again, I know tonight that each one of us knew we'd get a certain condition in our body healed. We wouldn't care how red our faces were. We'd go and meet those conditions. But that's not it. The thing is to see God's word the way it is. You've got to meet Abraham, I'll take care of it. See? God answers according to need. See what it says? God answers according to my need. You say he answers according to faith. Well, you didn't have any, so what's faith? See? Faith isn't where you just go ahead and feel good and start feeling better. It's not where you got a lot and start getting a lot more. Faith is where God provides. Right? Protects. Needs. See? What's money for? You couldn't get anything with money. Who needs money? There's got to be a lack. There's got to be something there that you want. That's why you use money. See? All right, I've got a need. Everything is based upon a need in God's economy. I've got a need, and God answers accordingly. In other words, you mean to tell me I've got a need, that's all God needs for an answer, that's all? You've got to show God your need. And your prayer is based upon it. God answers according to your need. You need a car, he'll not send you a beautiful telephone or a lovely hand-painted rug. You get a car. He needed a horse because the car won't work. God's not going to say, well, I'll give you a four-wheel Jeep. Of course, the four-wheel Jeep's no good because the four-wheel Jeep won't go. No, God gives you what? Gives you the horse, right? If you need a boat, what does God give? He gives you a boat. Follow me? He answers accordingly. In other words, I can have my need, right? I can have it. You follow me? I hope you do, because I'll tell you what, this is what counts. Because if this is not in us, where we really get it, we pray ourselves blue in the face, and we'll be held back every inch of that way with that condition. Forget it. Forget it. What did the scripture say about the man who found a great treasure in the field? He sold everything he had and bought that field. Right? Because he knew it was there. What about the pearl of great price? He sold everything he had, and he got that pearl. I'm trying to show you, don't let conditions get you upset. Don't let anything get in your mind of this. I can have it. See? You follow me? I got a drill on it because this is the secret. I can have it. See?
How much? What can you have? All that I need. All of my needs are in Christ. He wants to do it.
See?
He wants. Imagine a fellow getting perfect healing because he confesses his fault. Now that's so simple, yet and so basic, and yet so funny, you just want to pay much attention to it. We'd sooner have a gift healing come by, wouldn't we, if it hasn't been working? And praying it faster, but that doesn't work either. Hey, why? Because the people are out, they're outside the Word of God. What's the condition? The conviction is, I've got a need, and the original prayer uttered was based upon a need, and God answered according to a need. There was a condition to me, but that didn't matter. See? Because he knew he'd get it. Are you ready tonight? If God laid it on your heart to do some confessing or do something making right? Now, would that stop you from getting healed? I don't believe one of them. Not one. I really believe with all my heart that seriously speaking, whatever our need is tonight, that if that problem was based in something we did, and God said, now make it right, I doubt if anybody would sit still. He's going to make it. See what I'm trying to show you? Don't. The condition is, you see, the devil's got you fooled by condition. And you say, I've proved tonight that's not so. See? So where are your eyes? You're back on this. I've got a need. God, here it is. You said you supply it, and you will supply it. I can have this need. I can have it. See, we've been, all these years, we've been bugged about this whole thing. The devil's given us has worked on us and worked on us and worked on us. See? And that's where those doubts come in. No, I can have it. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. God, I can have. Abraham, what do you give me, Lord? I've got a need. What do you need? A son? Son, you're going to have. Well, now, did he give him something else? Were all the nations of earth blessed? Certainly. Were there conditions? So what? So what? Was there a condition he couldn't do? No, sir. Now, would Abraham have done one thing except he knew he'd get an answer? No. Follow me now? I know I drilled and drilled on it, but here is the secret of getting things from God. Yeah, I know. See, the devil come along and say, you got to jump over the moon. There's a million things you got to do to keep you doing it. And then you don't know if you really get it. See? But if you know that you can have it, then the condition don't matter. Right? Okay, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we have come now to an end of another service. Looking only at your word, Lord, that every need can be met. We can have it. Just like you said to Peter, he said, can I walk on water? He said, certainly, step out. And he stepped out, walked even a certain distance. And then, of course, we know, Lord, he got fucking with condition. So it didn't have anything to do with it. Because it could have been, Lord, he could have sunk to his knees and then rose up and walked along. But Lord, we know tonight that you've given us promises. And we know the devil wants to rob us because he's been unveiled tonight. He's been showing up for what he does to our minds. He's that old deceiver. He appealed to his mind. He does the same thing to us. He hasn't changed. And Lord, we still let ourselves be double-crossed. And now tonight, Lord, we're going to apologize to you for first condition. Because we're sorry, Lord, that we haven't really seen this before in the sense we ought to see it. We don't even see it even now, but we're looking to it. That you do answer according to need, because that's all you can answer to. It's got to be a need. Never would be an answer. Now we know, Lord, a little condition laid down at time, but that's all. Like you said, given it shall be given. We got a need, we give. Takes care of it. All these things, Lord, are just simple as ABC. You said about sicknesses. Maybe some of us are sick and we don't have any faults to confess. We can still get healed, other manner. We'd be like Abraham. He didn't have any faults. He was just barren. Physical infirmity. They didn't have anything to do with it. They were born that way. But Lord God, you took care of even that. So it doesn't matter, Lord, we're born with it. Who caused it? That doesn't matter. Miriam caused hers.
But you had a need and you took care of it. We've got needs tonight, Lord. And tonight, my God, we know that we can have the answer. We know that. We know it academically, theoretically. We know it a good bit in part. But now, Lord, tonight, we want to go all the way. We want to go all the way, Lord Jesus Christ, so that there is nothing whatsoever missing. Nothing. Every answer. And Lord, some folks tonight need these promises made real. Some tonight, oh God, are sick in body. Now, Lord, you speak to them. Whether they need little things they need to confess, Lord, don't let their imagination trick them now. No, we don't want any of that with reasoning and puzzling things out. Lord, let it be. Lord, if you were big enough, and we know you were, to convict us of our sins,